It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. We have our terrific Football Tuesday for you today. We've got this show. We'll focus pretty much primarily on Penn State stuff and some college football discussions. Then we've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up here at 5 o'clock. Nathan Forlina is in with me in the studio for this show and will also be here for the Black and Gold Breakdown show. Kreider is not here today, so it'll be me and Nathan and Matt Bortner for the Black and Gold Breakdown show. You're ready for 2 hours of football talk here?
I'm ready. I love it. This is what I've been striving for football since end of the Super Bowl, February 12th or whatever. So I've been waiting for this, whether it's college or pro football. I cannot wait.
Now, I don't like correcting people, but the words you should have used was jonesing.
Jonesing
is the right word.
That's
what a lot of people are. I kind of like that word. It's like a person. You're jonesing for more football.
I'm jonesing for more football. I cannot wait. We're almost there. We got a little taste of it last Saturday, but we're going to start ramping up here, especially this Saturday coming up.
So something weird happened at the end of yesterday's show. I was telling Nathan about this a few minutes ago. So we were talking about a bunch of different things, some Penn State stuff and everything. And then I got into this topic somewhere around like 4:48, all right? And by 4:48, we're in the home stretch. I got to take the last commercial at 4:55, so there's really not much else we can do. I can maybe take one more phone call at that point. But then I got on this Penn State football topic that I'm about to bring up again. I'll share it, Nathan, with you, and I'll share it with everyone again because I think I kind of pissed some people off. It's like a little bit of a hot button kind of thing to where people take offense to this to a degree, and although some people may agree with this, but it's about expectations and what Penn State football really is. But what happened was I brought this topic up and had seven people call. I had literally five people waiting on the line while I was talking, and that never ever happened. Nathan, you've been in here a few months now. We don't get that many phone calls after 4:50.
Yeah, I see a maximum of probably five of those green lights a day.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Seven in the last 7 minutes. I mean, one per minute right there. It's a pretty good average, Corey.
Well, I felt bad because I always like to take as many calls as we can get. Here's the premise of my argument, okay? Everybody ready for this? It has to do with expectations for what Penn State football is and basically what Penn State football probably would have always been had Penn State been in the Big Ten. And it goes like this. All you out there want to bitch and moan about James Franklin, how he can't beat Ohio State and Michigan. Now, that's true. He's 1-9 against Ohio State, and it took a miracle once-in-a-lifetime play to win that game. I didn't look it up. I think he's 3-6 against Michigan. You can double-check that.
Yeah, I'll double-check real quick.
I think he's 3-6 against Michigan. And so everybody rips on James Franklin. He's little game James. He can't win the big games. And look, I'm not going to dispute that. It's true. It's absolutely true that James has not won anywhere near enough big games. But he also has had to play Ohio State and Michigan every year. Now, that's not the case anymore. Michigan's not in the same. They're not on the schedule this year. They do have to play Ohio State. But Penn State won't have to play both of them anymore. So I made the comparison yesterday to what Penn State football has always been, or at least would have always been, had it been in the Big Ten instead of being an independent program. Joe Paterno's record against Ohio State is 8-14. Losing record. Oh, shocking. Well, Joe had all the undefeated seasons, two national championships, but against Ohio State, record is 8-15. Against Michigan, Joe Paterno's record was 6-10, 8-14, 6-10. So 14-24 against Ohio State and Michigan. Now, As a caveat, I do want to bring this back and say Joe had tremendous success in the 80s. He won a ton of big games. Okay, I think I saw a record yesterday against top 10 teams is 22 and 17 or so in the 80s against top 10 teams. That's pretty damn good. That's, you know, Joe won plenty of big games.
Yeah, whenever Franklin's, what, 3 and 22 against top 10 teams, it's pretty good, you know. We'll take this.
And where this gets offensive is to the Paterno loyalists out there or longtime Paterno fans who hear something like what I'm about to say and they immediately take offense to it like it's some kind of tremendous criticism against Joe Paterno, when in fact it's just reality. If Penn State had been in the Big Ten for all of Joe Paterno's career, he doesn't have 409 wins. He doesn't have all the undefeated seasons. If he had to play Michigan and Ohio State every year from the mid-60s on, yeah, I do think Joe still would have had success. But the point I'm trying to make is Penn State would have always been, forever, the third best team in the Big Ten. Now, do you disagree or agree with that general premise? If Penn State had been in the Big Ten from the 60s on, by and large, 80-plus percent of that time, it still would have been Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State number three.
I think for the most part, for most years, it would have been that. But I think Penn State, maybe like
sure,
maybe three out of in a decade, 3 years they're going to either be ahead of Michigan or Ohio State. They're going to be that second team. Maybe once a decade they're that first team, kind of like you see under Franklin's tenure so far. So I don't think
I'm not saying you're
take.
Slotted third forever every year.
Yes, every team has their up and downs. Ohio State had their up and downs. Michigan had their up and downs. Penn State has their up and downs. It's just where you consistently fall, they'd probably be that third team like they currently are in the Big Ten.
2005, Penn State, great year. What'd they do, Nathan?
Oh, boy, you're testing my knowledge.
They beat Ohio State.
Okay, they beat Ohio State.
2008, Rose Bowl, what'd they do?
Beat Ohio State.
2016, Rose Bowl, what'd they do?
Beat Ohio State.
Okay, now they did get to the Rose Bowl a couple years ago, didn't beat Ohio State, but that was a different story. So the point I'm trying to make is this, and I've said this for a lot of years, a lot of those 409 wins came against the Sisters of the Poor in the East when they were pretty bad. Yeah, Syracuse might have been good occasionally. West Virginia might have been good occasionally. Pitt was good for a 5-6 year period. Penn State beat the hell out of Syracuse, Boston College, West Virginia, Pitt, Maryland for years and years and years and years. And as an independent, really didn't have to play the Ohio State and Michigan every year. So what I find interesting is the expectation for the Penn State football fan, I don't really believe is grounded in reality, because in reality, if you truly want to play with history, Penn State has always been the third best team in the Big Ten, just like they are now.
Yeah, I think the comparison needs to be drawn to Notre Dame, because I think that is what Penn State – if Penn State was an independent team, they'd be in the same situation of Notre Dame. Notre Dame, they're a great program. Same with Penn State. Penn State's been a great program for 100 years. Same with Notre Dame. But the problem is you put Notre Dame against these big-time schools whenever they do have to play them, and oftentimes they're crumbling under the pressure. And that's similar to how Penn State operates with the Ohio States and the Michigans. It's when you put them in these big-time games – it seems like they're not able to compete. Not that they can't win them. They're competitive, and they can take a team, you know, to the fourth quarter. Then maybe it starts to separate itself. But it's just the fact that Penn State football, for as long as time's been around, you have the, you know, outlier seasons of which you look at. It's like, okay, that was a great team. But if you look over the course of history, they're probably, you know, maybe in that 10 to 15 range, maybe across the country, I'd say, consistently.
All right, we've got our phone lines open. Anybody want to jump in on this from an expectation standpoint? Dan, I'll get to you in just 1 second. I got two people online at the same time. So Dan, we'll get to you in just 1 second. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Corey. This is Dave from Altoona. Hi, how are you?
Good, Dave. How you doing, pal?
Good, hi. Congratulations on your 15 years.
Thank you, brother.
Anyway, I think your observation is very fair. I think Penn State, you know, when you think about the Big Ten, it was always Ohio State and Michigan, you know, always fighting for a title, fighting for a they had to beat on each other.
Correct.
While the other division kind of got the softies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and yeah, it was still that way up until last year.
It boggled the mind. People have to understand that Penn State, for the most part, is going to finish third behind Michigan and Ohio State. Look what Ohio State did this year. They went out. I mean, they basically cleaned out the transfer portal.
So they spent upwards of $20 million.
$20 million. Yep.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, and James doesn't go for it. He's not big on the portal. So I heard. I don't know. Is that true?
Well, they want teams from the portal. I mean, they want players from the portal, and they've had some success. Arnold Ebiketie. They've had Chop Robinson, obviously, from Maryland. But Penn State doesn't have the kind of money to go buy the kind of players that Ohio State can get.
Yeah, that's another thing. And I'll let you go because I know you got other callers. I personally think I don't agree. I'm not a big fan of Jim Harbaugh's or Nick Saban's, but I do agree with them on one aspect. College football, the way it is now, is not sustainable. Do you agree?
Financially and with just these programs all over the country having to pay players going forward, the way it is now, no, it is not sustainable. There will be, I have said this for a couple of years now, there will be, before too long, a professional college football league of roughly 50 teams. And if you want to be in that league, you'd better have a lot of money. Okay, if you want to play with the big boys, there's no more Akrons, there's no more Cincinnati's, there's no more Central Michigan's, there's no more Oregon State's and Washington State's. I don't know if even Pitt's in that. I think Pitt's in the top 50, but it's roughly, you know, I don't know if they're in the top 44, 48, depending on what they do. My point is, when we get to that point, when we really break off the gigantic haves versus the have-nots, then, yeah, college football will look completely different than it does now.
One question before I go. Am I allowed to call in the Black and Gold Breakdown?
Yes.
When I call this show, as long as I talk to Steve.
That's awesome,
perfect
Dave.
Blog right there. Perfect
Dave,
blog.
I pat you on the back. Thank you. We want as many callers as we can get in the Black and Gold Breakdown show.
Okay, so I can call that show, even if I call this show.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to know the rules.
Absolutely, brother.
All right. See you, Corey.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 946-0435. Dan, I'll get to you in just one second. Okay, so undefeated seasons, Nathan. I did pull these up, all right? Joe Paterno went undefeated in 1968. Beat Navy, unranked. Kansas State, unranked. West Virginia, unranked. UCLA, unranked. Boston College, unranked. Army, unranked. Miami, Florida, unranked. Maryland, unranked. Pitt, unranked. Syracuse, unranked. Closed the season with a bowl win over Kansas, number 6. Okay. Undefeated season, one ranked victory. No Ohio State or Michigan.
To me, that feels like the modern-day MAC schedule. So
1969, undefeated. Navy, unranked. Colorado, unranked. Kansas State, unranked. Beat West Virginia, number 17. Syracuse, unranked. Ohio, unranked. Boston College, unranked. Maryland, unranked. Pitt, unranked. NC State, unranked. Beat Missouri in the bowl game. They were number 6. So there's a lot of cry about the 68-69 seasons because those were fantastic teams. Who'd you play?
They played combined three ranked teams
in two years.
Two from bowl games. They had one ranked team on that schedule.
1973, so. Penn State undefeated. Played. Stanford unranked. Navy unranked. Iowa unranked. Air Force unranked. Army unranked. Syracuse unranked. West Virginia unranked. Maryland unranked. NC State unranked. Ohio unranked. Pitt, number 20. LSU in the bowl game, number 13. So in three undefeated seasons, their highest ranked win was over the number 6 team. In 68, they beat number 6 Kansas in 68. And in 69, they beat number 6 Missouri. And then in 73, the highest ranked win was
LSU at 13.
LSU at 13. Now, yeah. 94. Then Penn State enters the Big Ten in 93. 94, Minnesota unranked, USC number 14. Iowa unranked, Rutgers unranked, Temple unranked at Michigan, won the game. Home and that Michigan was number five. Home against Ohio State, destroyed them, 63-14. Ohio State was only number 21 that year. Indiana unranked, Illinois unranked, Northwestern unranked, Michigan State unranked. Oregon, number 12, beat them in the Rose Bowl. And most people would say that, most Penn State fans would say that that team deserved to be the national champion.
That's the team that deserves. That is the best team under Paterno.
But they still only beat. The best win was number five. And it was at Michigan. Mm-hmm. I'm number five. And they did beat Michigan, Ohio State. The point I was trying to make with this a little bit earlier is that for all of these years, Penn State wasn't, not only were they not playing great competition, they clearly weren't playing Michigan and Ohio State. So when I ask about the expectation of what Penn State football is today, and then I make the point that Penn State football is today what it's always been. It's a program that beats lower level and relatively similar talent, but then they lose to the better talent. With what I just went through there, again, 94 is clearly the exception, but I think I've just made my case whether Penn State fans want to hear it or not.
Yeah, 100% agree. This entire university's history, like you're saying, is built on 10-2, it feels like. And it's always the two big games they're going to lose. Then they're going to be 50% in bowl games typically. You're going to, you know, beat the Utahs. You're going to lose to the Ole Misses. So in my lifetime, that's how it's always been. You know, people saw the undefeated seasons before I was born and stuff like that, and they can have their differing opinions. But I would tend to agree with you because I didn't live through those days, and I feel like from what I know, this is the Penn State I'm expecting.
Right.
I am expecting, honestly, a 10-2 to 11-1 season. That's what I expect.
So why then do so many Penn State fans think it's like some kind of birthright to compete for national championships?
Maybe because they're a blue blood school of college football. I mean, they are.
They're
a top eight college football team of all time if you just look at it from all aspects. So I think instantly that puts you in the conversation to compete for a national championship. Same, you can make the claim with UCLA with college basketball. Besides the 1 year in which they were the 11th seed, I believe it was the COVID madness in 21. But besides that 1 year, they really haven't, in the last 20 years, I feel like, been towards the top competing in college basketball. And I mean, that university is, I think, has the most college basketball titles of all time, if I want to say mm-hmm. if I'm correct.
Yep.
So it's kind of the same situation. You've kind of got to realize maybe your expectation, you got to check them. You got to realize that Penn State, they're a good program, but they're maybe not the elite. They're maybe not the top five. They're not the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Michigans. They're not that type. They're more maybe in the lines with the Notre Dames and, you know, those teams like that. I guess you can put modern day Clemson maybe in that. Clemson.
Now, this is going to come across as two a-holes on the radio blasting Penn State and Joe Paterno and their history. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. That would be what people would
expect. A lot of people would take this as, What the hell are you guys talking about? How are you dissing Penn State like this? And I just pointed out why. Because of the 409 wins, how many were against nothing teams?
Exactly.
And how often did Penn State truly have to play? Now, again, in the 80s, I will give Penn State a lot of credit in the 80s. The 80s, Penn State played just about everybody and won two national titles. I've done the history and the research and everything. But outside of that decade and then 94, that's really all Penn State fans have to hang their hats on, I think, when it comes to we're just as good as anybody. Because really, they're not. They've always been essentially what they are right now, which is a 1A tier team or tier 2, whatever, you know, however you want to rank that 7th through 14th type of program.
Yes, think about like the 2017 UCF Knights where they went undefeated and they were claiming themselves national championships. They did have that, I think, a bowl win against LSU, but the next year they played a little bit better competition. They just couldn't compete. Same with the Cincinnati team that made the playoffs and they competed against Alabama. It's sort of that same situation where if you schedule cupcakes and you play against them a lot of times, you're going to be able to beat those teams. And Penn State is...
And it's not even so much that it... I'm not blaming Penn State for the late 60s. Eastern football was just bad.
Yeah, that's how it was.
If your proximity rivalries are Syracuse and Pitt and West Virginia and Boston College and Maryland, and they all suck or are mediocre, I mean, what are you going to do? You didn't have cross-continent travel back then the way you do now where, you know, you got... all these teams on the West Coast joining the Big Ten. Back then, you had to play the people that were around you. That's what you could afford. That was what would work logistically. And unfortunately, those were the teams that were around Penn State all those years.
Yeah, it's a it is what it is. It is the hand they're dealt. That's how it goes, and that's just the way history presents itself. You can't really change it.
All right. We got Jerry on the line. Jerry, I think you were trying to get in yesterday at the end of the show on this discussion. Sorry I didn't get to you. What's up, man?
No, it's all right. I wanted to talk about the difference between Paterno and Franklin. But
yes.
One thing you were talking about, video games and stuff. I never been into video games, but I got addicted to playing Hearts Online. And my problem is if they do rankings, then I get competitive because I want my ranking to go up. And so I had to quit playing games, backgammon and hearts online, because they would rank me. And I like beating the guys ahead of me.
Competing.
So competitive.
So
I'm competing, yeah.
Jerry,
don't
Nathan,
rank me and I'm not going to be addicted.
Nathan didn't hear this subject yesterday. So this author last week, Liz Wheeler is her name. She is an author. She's a far right-wing person. And she riled up some people. Nathan, she said that the least attractive hobby for a man is video gaming. That men who just want to play video games all the time, she's basically saying they're gross and unattractive because in no short term, short way to put it, they're just like kind of kids.
Well, hey, Corey, let me ask you, are you attracted to men to play video games?
you could have ended that sentence in any way possible with any, you could have said anything in the world after, are you attracted to men? And the answer would have been a quadrillion percent no. So you're asking the wrong person. I have no qualms of saying the most beautiful thing on this planet is a woman. And I'm not debating that with anybody.
All right, so
I didn't say one woman. I just said women in general. So,
all right. Hey, well, as far as the Franklin and Paterno, I think Paterno would have made in his prime. I think the last couple years of his coaching, he should have retired. He wasn't a good coach, but in his prime, I think he would have made the adjustments to play the Michigans and the Ohio States. I really do, and I think. That's where I don't see Franklin makes the adjustments. So I think that's the difference between the two coaches.
Joe, here's the discussion that's fascinating. Joe was a really good game coach in the degree that he could beat anybody on a given day. Joe could beat any phenomenal team on a given day. You know that to be true, right, Jerry?
Sure, yeah.
Here's the issue with Joe. The style that he played kept the other team in games far longer than they really should have been. Now, we're talking about different eras of football here, really. But Joe played a defensive-oriented game, run the ball, eat the clock, you know. So you could – Penn State for decades could be beating the holy hell out of people. And it's a 16-7 game.
Iowa football 2024.
And then all of a sudden, a team scores at the near the end, and like you're in damn near danger of getting upset after you've crushed this team for 45. You see what I'm getting? Joe played that style, and maybe that's why Penn State football wasn't real sexy until kind of 94. They won the title in 82 and 86. They had great teams, but defensively, you know, they won in 86 with picking off Testaverde five times. But in 94, that's why so many people love 94, because that was like a new incarnation of Penn State football. Joe really never played that style before.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I think he would have adjusted, and if that's the way it would have taken him for Penn State to win, he would have done it. And you said yesterday, and it is true, he did prepare very well when you gave him a lot of time to prepare. He won a lot of those bowl games and big games. I mean, but
if they would have had to play Ohio State and Michigan every year from the 60s on, you know, Penn State wasn't, they didn't have the money then that Ohio State and Michigan have. They didn't have the fan base then. That's probably not fair. They probably did have the fan, but they certainly didn't have the financial backing that Ohio State and Michigan. So the point I'm trying to make, Jerry, is I don't know that Penn State football would have ever gotten to this point where fans had these outrageous expectations in 2024 when this has basically been what they've been for 60 years.
Well, but the thing is, you give Franklin all the time in the world to prepare against a good team.
Bingo, yep.
I mean, that's the difference between the two coaches. Again, in Paterno's prime, he hung around way too long.
Great discussion, anyway. Man. All right, thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. Where you stand, Nathan, on my video game question? You think, man, now, do girls your age? Now, look, guys your age probably all play video games. So I can see late teens, early 20-year-old women. That's fine. They're used to dudes playing video games. You get in your 30s and dudes are playing video games, I can see how women would say, that's a red flag.
If it's become, if it consumes your life, yeah. I mean, for me, I play Pat, and for me, I only play, sports video games. Uh-huh. I know, the hardcore gamers are playing, Call of Duties and stuff like that. I'm only playing NCAA 25, Madden 25. I mean, I will say, I rebuilt Marshall into a powerhouse on NCAA 25, number 7 team in the country right now in the college football playoffs. We were doing pretty, pretty well. However, the year 2049, it took a while to rebuild this. It's taken 25 years. But, I think if people are consumed by it, it becomes a problem. That's whenever, maybe.
If you're a 32-year-old single guy playing college football 5 hours a day, you getting a woman?
Depends if you're trying. If you're trying, you might be able to, if you're trying.
You think that woman's going to want to come over and do EA Sports and chill?
I mean, if she knows that Marshall's been a terrible program for... 10 years or so. I mean, she might be impressed that you can take a half-star program to a 4.5-star program.
That's a great answer, my man.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5, on Saturday from 9 to 4, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back. I feel bad. I've had Dan on hold. Dan called in before we even started the show, and I apologize, Dan. It took me this long to get to you. We had to get our college football discussion in, so I apologize it's taking so long.
This is not all right. It's a privilege to talk to you two. And I've been waiting over 96 hours to talk to Nate because on Thursday.
He loves you, Nathan.
I know. I appreciate you, Dan. You're my number one fan.
Dan, he is your. He's Kathy Bates from Misery. He can't wait to ask you questions.
I love it. Hit me with it, Dan.
Right, but like I say, because last Thursday at the end of the show, you asked him if you're going to the game on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nate come back and he says he's all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's where I wanted to talk. I'm asking Nate about the question about the game Friday night. Now you didn't pay no attention to one on Saturday night with BG and Bald Eagle. That's out of your scope. But
good win for BG.
Pardon me?
Good win for BG.
Oh, it was an excellent win.
Yep.
But now. Let's go back Friday night. Now, this is the biggest crowd.
We're talking about Altoona. We're talking about Altoona.
It was packed. It was.
What'd you think, Nate?
Whew,
Altoona. Now we're talking.
Yeah. I'm trying to censor myself here because there's a lot of thoughts I have.
Okay, let's go. So we good. We get some controversial high school topic here.
I just think the Navy, triple option offense just isn't gonna work, and obviously it's hard for me to say because I'm not a football coach. I don't know. I don't prep a week for a team.
Whoa.
It's
pulling
tough.
Out the criticism of triple option.
It's been 5 years. Listen, I like Vince Niemeyer. I think he can coach men. I just think the offense needs to change.
It's interesting because, this is a great discussion. Jared Prugar has been on with me a bunch. He and Jake Irwin call the games. And I'm a believer you have to have a system, some kind of system. If you don't have as much talent as somebody else, you'd better have some kind of system. You can't. It's like Penn State basketball. You can't just go play a regular 5-on-5 game just playing routine basketball. You got to shoot a bunch of threes. You got to pound it in. You got to have something that you can hang your hat on. And it has been the option for Altoona under Niedermeyer. And they've won some games. They've had probably,
they had one good year over COVID. I don't know if you can judge that.
But what I would say is this. What is Altoona High football? What can it be? Can Altoona really be more than a 500 football program playing in that league? Do they have the numbers? Do they have the size? I mean, playing in that league with, you're probably undersized compared to everybody. What, other than the option, what could they do?
I just think you need to adopt like slant concepts, mesh concepts. They need to pass, even if it's short, you just need to keep teams on their toes because whenever they can stack the box with eight people, it's really tough to run that option play because, you're trusting your quarterback every single time to make the correct read, and then you also, the block's got to set up. You got to hope that everything literally is perfect for you to bust a big run. It's just tough. It seems like the passing game was pretty atrocious. There was one deep pass where I believe the defense started to cover three, and it was a perfect route, perfect spot. The kid put it on the money. I think Harrington's the quarterback right now. He put it right on the money. It was a great pass, but besides that, it was a little bit rough of a night. So it was like whenever, later in the game when they had to get to those passing situations, everybody knew a pass was coming. They just couldn't effectively run it. So at that point, you were put in a bad spot.
What is the feeling? I don't know the answer to this. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't. I'm just picking your brain as somebody that graduated there 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yep.
What is the feeling in the Altoona football community of being Army, Navy, Air Force, with Georgia Tech, with the triple option, and that's just what you are? How does the Altoona sporting community, mm-hmm. the student body, the football community, how do they feel with that identity? Because, again, folks, they are playing extremely difficult competition.
Yes.
You know this.
Yes. They should go out and beat Hollidaysburg. That's no excuse.
Well, they've lost 5 out of 7 to Hollidaysburg.
Yes, which is crazy.
Is that embarrassing to the Altoona?
Oh, my God,
community?
Absolutely.
How embarrassing is it to Altoona to lose 5 out of 7 to
Oh, it's embarrassing because it's just a bigger – you have more of a selection to pull from than Hollidaysburg.
Okay.
There's a bigger population here, so you should be competing. If you lose 2 out of the 7 games, I understand stuff happens. It's high school football. But to lose 5 out of 7 to a smaller school than you is just atrocious.
As somebody, again, you were walking the halls 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How do people in the school district feel about having the identity of being, again, Georgia Tech?
I think people would be okay with it if it worked, but it just hasn't.
Yeah, but so, how's it going to work? I mean, the only way for it to work is, like you said, it's got to work every time. I watch a lot of Air Force, you know, Air Force, Georgia Tech, Army. These are the service academies, Georgia Tech. I don't know who else runs the option kind of like that. But you do have to have BYU at times, although they're more of the passing attack. Yeah. But you do have to have everything go. You have to have an unbelievably brilliant and instinctive quarterback. It starts there. The quarterback has to make the decision 95% of the time.
Then your offensive line needs to block. They need to be able to push people off the ball.
Are they good enough? Do they have enough talent overall to play an air raid system where they throw 40 times?
Right now, I'm going to say no. I don't. And I hate to be critical because they are high school. It's hard for me to be critical of kids that are 17, 18.
And we're not criticizing. I'm just saying, but they don't have the size.
I think especially with the wide receiver.
Regular football. They're not going to play BG smash mouth football and just line up and push people off the ball. So they have to do something that they can hang their hat on.
Yes, they need to. And I think they're trying to make that triple option work because their quarterback is a big kid. I mean, if he goes downhill, it's going to be tough to stop him, tough to tackle him. But at the same time, you should be able to throw the ball as well. And a lot of the receivers are maybe a little bit undersized. They're not the tallest guys out there. I know there's a kid for Hollidaysburg. His name is blanking my mind. I believe he was number 5 or number 3 or something like that. It was a single-digit number. But down the field, he was an excellent receiver. He caught at least 2 touchdowns, I remember seeing, I'm pretty sure. He was an excellent receiver, and I don't think Altoona has that, and that's a problem. So Hollidaysburg was able to keep Altoona. They had to keep him in check for the down-the-field pass, and he torched them all game because even it was just – 15, 20-yard routes, he was just cooking them on. And then next thing you know, they're just driving down the field. And it was tough to watch because you knew that if they were behind at any point, it was going to be tough because they were just going to run the ball. That was their only identity. And if they can just switch it up and if they can throw, 5, 10-yard routes and just, again, keep teams, in check and make them respect the pass game.
But typically speaking, if you've got that quarterback that you need to make the right read 95% of the time because he's just an unbelievable – again, I'm not talking about Harrington. I'm talking about just in general with that style of system. You have to be just an unbelievable athlete to pull off that style incredibly effectively.
I think the quarterback is a good athlete right now. I don't want to take anything away from him. I think he's a very good athlete.
If you're that guy, you're probably not the strongest arm. It's like, baseball, hitting versus pitching. Mm-hmm. If you're spending all your time as a hitter, how good of a pitcher can you be, or vice versa? If you're spending all your time learning the unbelievable intricacies of the option, and it's all on you, the whole game is on you all the time, even more so than probably any other style of football, how much time are you actually working on the passing
game? Yeah, it's not a ton. They need to adopt like a shotgun package, a pistol package. I think Hollidaysburg ran out of the pistol a ton. They had single back a ton. So.
Dan, I'll let you wait because you brought this up. You have any other questions along these lines?
Yes, I do have several other questions. And the thing of it is now another one. Nate, were you involved with that melee they had over on the other side?
No, I was not. I didn't even see the video yet. I know somebody has a video. I got to get it sent to me. I was not a part of this melee, but I definitely heard about it. I saw like the aftermath of it, but I did hear about it.
Okay, and now, Corey, I'm going to add you now. Now, the fellow that belongs to the Curves that announces the games for Hollidaysburg. Now, who is that guy?
Nate Bowen, the general manager.
All right, well, listen to this crap. Now, I'm telling you something.
Bring it, Dan. Let's go, man.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, the Altoona band was at halftime. And your buddy there from the Curve, he got up and he was dancing and hopping down on his feet with that god-awful music they were playing and everything. And I was sitting on the visitor side right by the press box there because the door was wide open. And I sat up there with my lawn chair in the very top row, and I watched. I couldn't help to keep my eyes off of this clown. And
hang on, I'm confused. I'm confused.
Because
I do know Nate Bowen. He's a really good, smart guy. Are you upset that he was dancing to the band?
No, I got the biggest kick in the world out of it. I loved it. I had to make a choice in between the game and him. So going back and forth.
So you're saying you enjoyed him dancing, not that you're ridiculing him.
No, I'm not ridiculing him at all.
That's what it sounded like. I got to defend my man Nate Bowen here. He's good. He's good dude. He's good people, Dan.
Well, I'm sure he is, but I think they played 6 songs. See, you know, now Nathan, you probably don't pay any attention to the band.
Yeah, right. I do not one bit. Sorry.
All right, Dan, I'm gonna wrap it up there because I got to take a break. I appreciate the call. It's a good discussion. I just want to get your final thoughts on this, Nathan, about, again, Altoona losing to Hollidaysburg.
It's embarrassing. As a school.
How do people take that in the Altoona school district?
People hate it. I mean, it's backyard brawl, man. I mean, this is, you know, Altoona Hollidaysburg. This thing's been around for a long time. It's the premier game, even though they're not the two best schools. Always State College dominates them. It's just a different feeling because both cities are pretty much there.
Is there a feeling in the Altoona school district, we're bigger, we should beat
them
every time?
Absolutely.
Because that's not the case. It really hasn't been
the case for a long time. The case.
So we're talking about expectation with Penn State. You know, maybe in previous generations, Altoona would have. But since I've lived here for 25 years, Hollidaysburg has always given Altoona everything that it could possibly want.
Yeah. And I think it shouldn't be that way because I think Altoona just has bigger. They have more to pull from. They need to win those games. I think that's putting it simply enough. They should not lose those games one bit.
All right. Nathan will take over here after this. We'll talk some other things.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Daytona. Ryan Truex grabs his second win of the season, and it's also his second career win in the series.
No, as of right now, I don't have anything done or signed, or I don't really know at all. This helps for sure. I hope so. Yeah, I mean, to win, it wasn't like we lucked into it or there was a huge wreck. Like, we, you know, controlled the whole race. And I was able to, you know, lead lanes and make blocks and do all the things you have to do to win these races. So, yeah, I feel like to do this and win Dover and you know, two completely different tracks, completely different styles. I feel like it should raise my stock for sure. It's pretty crazy to do burnouts in front of that many people on a front straightaway and get out and they're all cheering for you. So that was pretty neat. Yeah, I feel like I've always been good at restrictor plate or taper space or whatever one you call it. Super speedway racing, you know, from when I first did it way back when I was 18, I felt like I understood it and could do it well. And just, I would always make, like, I feel like I didn't make a lot of mistakes, but when I did, it was with two to go.
He led 28 of the 102 laps on the day. Chandler Smith was second, followed by Parker Kligerman, Riley Herbst, and Ryan Sieg rounds out the top five. Your quick point standings look like this. Justin Allgaier leads Cole Custer by 33. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is Darlington, going down Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on USA. By the way, 4 races remain in the Xfinity Series regular season. This is the final lap.
I'd rather ride a bike with my kids.
I'd rather play catch with my dog than catch pneumococcal pneumonia.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20 pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. If you are 19 or older with certain chronic conditions like heart disease or asthma, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I'd rather race for some ice cream. Let's go!
Schedule your vaccination today at Prevnar20.com.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Pacificos. Bread and rolls Pacificos. Bread and rolls Pacificos. Bread and rolls Pacificos. Hank FM.
All right, so we talked a lot of Penn State football today. Welcome back to Sports Central. This is Nathan Furlan.
And high school football.
And a little bit of high school football. A little bit of high school football. Maybe we'll dive into more of that as the season continues. But, I mean, I'm going to go into all the games. So I'll get a firsthand, you know, I'll be able to see what's going on there. I'll report it to you guys if you can't make it out. It's a lot of interesting stuff. But before we do get into a little bit of Pirates baseball, we'll talk a little bit about O'Neill Cruz. I want to mention our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell's. So go to 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA, open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell's pipe. I couldn't think of anything to wrap that ad read around today. I was going to say maybe, you know, Penn State, you know, J.M. Boswell's wasn't around in the glory days of Joe Paterno, but
You can't have your best stuff every time on the mound. You got to learn to grind through and find a way to win.
It's okay to put the simple ad read out every once in a while.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
that's
okay.
Good.
Hey, straight to the point. Don't no fluff right here. J.M. Boswell's go 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. Second plug right there. All right. So now we're moving into O'Neill Cruz. O'Neill Cruz, it was announced that he's changing his position to center field. I think this is a great decision. I think he'll work a lot better out there personally. I just think his arm accuracy is a little bit of a issue at shortstop, especially that's the one position on the infield in which it seems like it's the most crucial spot for a defender to be at. So him moving to center field, I think is probably a good idea. He also has a very strong arm, so he'll be able to get it in there fast. I think it's a great decision. We saw guys like Jazz Chisholm do this. That was previously on the Marlins, currently on the Yankees. He started out his career as second baseman, moved to the outfield. This has happened for plenty and plenty of other players just moving into the outfield from the typically it's that shortstop second baseman position where they start out until they move into the outfield. So initial thoughts, Corey, you think this is a smart idea for the Pirates to do this?
Do you know who the tallest shortstop in the history of Major League Baseball is?
I would go O'Neill Cruz. I don't know.
It's O'Neill Cruz.
Okay, I was about to say, what's he, 6'7"?
6'7". O'Neill Cruz is the tallest everyday shortstop in the history of a game that's been around for 160 years. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just because maybe they just can't play that position maybe as well.
No. Why do you think the Pirates kept him at shortstop?
Oh, I think it's the arm. I think because the cannon he had. I think they probably kept him there because they thought, hey, if there's a ball that's going to maybe touch the edge of grass right here, we can trust O'Neill to feel that ball, turn around, and fire it in there. That's really my philosophy of why they would keep him there.
Okay.
I don't think it's really anything else besides that.
It's a nice, calm, smooth philosophy there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my answer, because they're effing stupid.
Okay.
Why would members of the Pittsburgh Pirates think that they're the smartest freaking people in the history of baseball, that they can throw this unbelievably skilled offensive player who happens to be 6'7", and they're just going to prove 160 years of the sport wrong?
Because that's Pirates baseball, baby.
Because that's how effing stupid they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when O'Neill Cruz was playing for the Altoona Curve, I said, this is effing stupid to have him play shortstop. Then he got to the big leagues. I said, this is effing stupid to keep him at shortstop. We had a call 2-3 months ago. Somebody called in. Might have been Bob. Bob in Duncansville, I think it is. Maybe Bob and I, too. Bob hadn't heard from you in a while. So if you're out there, this is your discussion. Because Bob called in and said, hey, Corey, you know, O'Neill Cruz is doing pretty good. Do you think he stays at shortstop? I said, no. Because to maximize O'Neill Cruz as a baseball player, especially offensively, you cannot have a 6'7" dude playing the second most difficult position on the field every single day, taking a beating. Catcher is the most difficult position on the field in terms of taking the beating that he has to physically, doing all the things that he has to physically, overcoming the mental struggles of having 24 errors, which was second most in the major leagues, there are reasons, there are plenty of reasons why he could have moved off of shortstop. The only reason I can think of that the Pirates kept him at shortstop, give your nice, calm, smooth answer again.
I honestly don't remember what I said.
He had a good arm.
He had a good arm, good range and stuff like that, yeah.
And I'll go because they're effing stupid.
Okay, I think that's fair.
Now, you're not wrong. He's got a good arm. He showed off the cannon at People's Natural Gas Field. Now, he might hit somebody in the stands with a throw, but the cannon was there.
Yeah.
And just wait. Yeah, this is before you because you're 19. So you weren't even alive for Kevin Haverbush. Kevin Haverbush, for old Curve faithful, 99-2000, had the cannon from third. If you were sitting behind first base, you might get hit in the head with the ball, but he had a cannon.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make that I've always made with O'Neill Cruz is, if you want to maximize him as a baseball player, meaning maximize him offense, he's good. He's hitting 265, 18 homers, and 18 homers.
He's an above average player in this league. He's
63
he's
RBIs. Yeah. His OPS is 789. All that's pretty good. His OPS should be 850.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to – baseball is a game of very small percentages. A 789 OPS versus an 839 OPS, for some of you that might not seem like a big deal. That's a gigantic – that's a Hall of Fame-level player to some degree if you're in the 850 range, okay? But when you got 24 errors and you've got to spend all this time – so to me, this move is long overdue, whether he'll be able to work out in center field or not, but – the fact that the Pirates thought that they were smarter than everybody of 160 years of baseball and we're just going to defy conventional wisdom and have this 6'7" dude play shortstop every day, I think epitomizes just how stupid they are.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows – I mean, that's why the Pirates have been maybe the worst baseball team in the last decade. It's just because they make terrible, terrible decisions
like this.
You get
a player that good, you have to do – and look, he wanted to stay at shortstop. All the reporting out of Pittsburgh says that he's very disappointed about this. Well, tough. Tough, okay? You don't do your damn job, okay? You suck as a defensive shortstop.
Yes.
I don't care how disappointed you are. We need you to be a better offensive player. So get your head out of your ass and stop sulking.
Exactly, exactly. I think it also, just for the longevity of the Pirates, O'Neill Cruz is going to be sticking around for a little
bit.
I think this is probably a good decision for him in the center field because they have a lot of infield prospects coming up. You have Tamar Johnson, who's going to be at second base. Nick Gonzalez up there right now is performing very well. Connor Griffin, 18-year-old in rookie ball, he's pretty good as well. He'll be a shortstop or an outfielder. Not sure what he's going to end up doing quite yet, but they have a lot of depth in those middle infield just in prospects-wise. So just kind of building those guys up, I think it's probably better for the long term that O'Neill Cruz goes out to the center field.
Yeah,
so,
and look, it's absolutely, there's no question. I just think that this move should have been made 2 years ago.
Yeah, definitely could have. Definitely could have. We'll see you on the other side. Hopefully you enjoyed a little Pirates talk. We don't talk too much about it, so there's your feel.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how come you don't throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on. Your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. Well, with Skechers, you can, because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant. And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Find machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the show today. Thanks for everybody who called in. Always appreciate it. I want to thank Jan Boswell's Pipes and Cigars for supporting the show as always on this August 27th. Very hot day out there, 89 degrees, so stay cool inside. We got the Black and Gold show coming up on the other side, 946-0435. Give us a call. And I'll tell you what, Corey, it doesn't matter if you call this show and that show. You can call both.
We want you to call both.
Call
I
both.
I love it.
Hey, we got NFL football in, I think, nine days.
No Kreider today. So it's me, Nathan, and Bortner. So you're taking the place of Kreider today.
Yeah, I got big shoes to fill, so hopefully I'm able to do that. Once again, appreciate everybody for always tuning in. Means a lot. And make sure you guys take care.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring.